This morning, I tell you what, why don't you go to turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. You know, this morning we were singing a song, and part of the song said, "No fire can burn me, no battle can turn me." Now, when you think no fire can burn me, don't think strictly in terms of, you know, an open flame and so forth. Think in terms of the fires of adversity. No fire can burn me. No battle can turn me. No mountain can stop me, because you hold my hand. I'm walking in your victory, because your power is within me. No giant can defeat me, because you hold my hand. Was that just something you said? Or were you testifying at that moment? Now, Jesus is coming back. And if you haven't figured it out yet, stuff in this world is getting worse. You know, during election times, people, they seem to, especially, you know, Christians, get so worked up over the elections. Did you hear what, you know, this candidate said? Did you know? And did, ooh, I tell you. Like, well, we're facing difficult times. Did you hear what happened over there in Israel? Did you hear what happened over there? And they name the country and all the stuff that's happening. Yeah, it's happening. You know, it just is. But as a believer, what does your life demonstrate during these times? What is your, not, you come to church, you know, no giant can stop me and all, okay, yeah, praise God, that's great. But what is your life saying? That's the difference. Look, everybody can come in here. We could bring in a busload of atheists and sit them down, and they start singing. They never heard the songs, but they catch on. They start singing. Doesn't mean a thing to them. But they're just singing, you know, just going along with it, looking at their watch, thinking about lunch. But for us, you know, what does this mean? Look here in John chapter 16. Look what Jesus says. Verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You know, we can read through the Bible, and we just read things. Just read it. Because that's the Bible, it's the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word, etc. and so forth. And all that's true. But do you ever pay attention to what you're reading? I mean, really. See, this is one of the reasons we have these reading assignments. To read the same, like, what, this week, the book of Titus, what, 15 times? 15 times! It takes 7.5 minutes to read Titus. Come on. You could read it 15 times in one day. It's not that big of a deal. But the reason for this, yes, it has to do with faith, but also to try to drive home the message God wants us to receive throughout His entire Word. That's why we do that. It's part of the process of, you know, meditating in the Word. But Jesus says, look at this. He says, "In the world you shall have tribulation." Now this tribulation, He's not talking about the book of Revelation, final 7 years and so forth. He's talking about in life. In this world. Now, you only have three choices where to live. Here on earth, in this world, in heaven, or in hell. That's it. Three choices. There's no in between. Only three choices. He says, Jesus, in the world. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Now, since you're here today, you need to know you're in the world. All right? Pretty simple. This tribulation, it comes from, this word tribulation, it comes from the Greek word phlipsis. Kind of an odd word. Of course, a lot of the Greek words are kind of odd as far as I'm concerned. But I want to read through definitions of this word. To crush, press, compress, squeeze, trouble, affliction, pressure, pressure from evils, distress, stress, calamity, discomfort, anxiety, frustrations. All of which can affect either body or mind or both. In other words, a tribulation is a set of outward circumstances or a physical condition that can produce feelings of being crushed, pressed, compressed, squeezed, trouble, affliction, pressure, pressure from evils, distress, stress, calamity, discomfort, anxiety, and frustrations. Notice all of those are emotions. Emotional responses to something, either an outward circumstance or a physical condition. They are all emotional reactions. Now, this whole thing of the stress. Just, I looked up stress. There's a lot. But listen to this. Here are some of the effects of stress. Headache, anxiety, over or under eating, muscle tension or pain, restlessness, angry outbursts, chest pain, substance abuse, lethargy, fatigue, memory loss, feeling overwhelmed, seclusion. In other words, you don't want to be around anybody. Stomach discomfort, headaches, sleep difficulties, a weaker immune system, inflammation throughout the body, heart disease, development of cancerous tumors, and more. The whole thing of the development of cancerous tumors, I found that interesting because I didn't even document the whole process, but to simplify it, the stress can cause so much inner turmoil that certain chemicals are produced and released in the body that can actually facilitate the growth of something to become a tumor, to become cancerous. All right? Now, if you look this up, it gets a whole lot more detailed than that. Now, it doesn't mean that when you're going through stress, all of these things are going to happen. But when you're going through stress, some of them are guaranteed to happen in your life, and there's no way you can get around it. If you're going through the stress, and the stress is a result of a tribulation. So, Jesus is not making a negative confession. What he's telling you, what he's doing, it is a prophetic warning of what all Christians will face. He's telling you, in the world, you shall have tribulation. That is a statement guaranteed. You're not going to get around it. Meaning, every single one of us as Christians, we are going to face conditions. Outward conditions or an inward condition. Meaning, a physical something is happening in your body. You go to the doctor. And the doctor says, well, we got the results back from your test. And you look at the doctor and say, Doc, just give it to me straight. Just tell me, how much time do I have? He says, well, you got about 10 minutes. 10 minutes, oh dear God in heaven, 10 minutes. He goes, well, yeah, because I've got other patients to see. You only got 10 minutes. You go to the doctor. Okay, here, you feel something, all right? And you start wondering, well, maybe it's, or maybe, you know, Grandma had the same thing. And she died. Yeah, but she lived to be 98. Come on. Uncle Fred, he had, okay, you know, and you start thinking about it. Ooh, boy, this headache. Did you ever see that movie, Kindergarten Cop? Headache, maybe it's a, it is not a tumor. But see, you start thinking about this, and there's a stress. It'll be there. You know, your kids, any parents ever stressed out about your kids? What about, you know, your relationship with your spouse? What about your job? What about money? What about? Outward circumstances or a physical something. That is a tribulation. Tribulation isn't simply being tortured for the cause of Christ. A tribulation is something that we're all going to go through, we're all going to face some way, somehow. Now, what that means is Jesus has prophesied to us and He's warned us ahead of time. In this world, you shall have tribulation. So therefore, none of us should act surprised when tribulation shows up. We shouldn't be surprised. We should never be asking, God, why? Why? I just don't understand. Why? Why me, God? Why? And haven't we all been there? Yes, we have, Brother Martin. God, I don't understand. What have I done? And God could say, well, I'll tell you what, get your Bible. Well, first go find your Bible. Then open it to John 16. Read what your Savior said in verse 33. In this world you shall have tribulation. Then God can look at you and say, you're tribulating. You're tribulating. In other words, you're responding to this set of circumstances, acting surprised this has happened. And why should we be surprised? It's coming. If you're either coming out of a tribulation, in the middle of one, or entering the next one. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say. I'm just giving you a variation on the theme of what Jesus said. In this world, we have it. It's going to be there. But He says, well, I mean, He's made a way for us to get out of it. Not to get out of the circumstances, but to deal with it. He has not eliminated the conditions which produce tribulation. He's made a way to rise above the conditions when you're in the midst of them. And that's just the way it is. I mean, think about the life of Jesus. Consider everything that Jesus faced. Stormy seas. Everybody else was all worked up and worried. He was sleeping. He was either sleeping or walking on the waves. He wasn't worried. And he had the solution. Peace be still. Then everybody was shocked. The Bible says they were afraid. Who is this? It speaks to the wind and the waves. It's like, now you're going to tribulate over being delivered. What's the deal, guys? Stormy seas. Hungry multitudes. How are we going to feed all these people? Constant criticism. Lies. Accusations. Rejection. Attempts on his life. None of us have gone through all that. Not one of us. He did. Over and over again. I mean, think about this. The one time they were going to try and kill him. I mean, more than once this happened, but one time they were trying to kill him, and the Bible says that he escaped out of their midst. A bunch of angels didn't come and pick him up and fly him away. He escaped. Well, how did he do that? I don't know. I've speculated in the past. You know, there was a big crowd there, and maybe as they're trying to drag him, he's trying to jerk loose away from them, and maybe he kind of does and turns toward the crowd and starts to mingle around. They're trying to find him, and maybe he takes like he had a hood or something, and then he pulls it over his head, like you see the pictures, and he hides and he escapes, he gets away. Now that's what Jesus did. He didn't stand there and say, "Be blind, all of you people." No. He escaped. Now, he went through things none of us have gone through. Even the whole aspect of the prior to crucifixion, in the garden, praying, sweat became as drops of blood. He didn't want to have to go through all that. And he said, "If there's any other way, Father, let it be so. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Hear me. What did he say? "Not my will, but yours be done." Well, that's amazing. His will was to not go through that. Think about it. His will was, this crucifixion thing, man, that stinks. I ain't doing that. However, he suppressed his own will for the joy that was set before him. And he endured the cross, "Not my will, but yours be done." He had to go through all that. If Jesus had been, if he had yielded over to the fullness of stress and anxiety concerning the upcoming crucifixion, you know, he'd have got up and walked away. He battled the stress and the anxiety and suppressed it to go on to the cross for you and me. And this whole aspect of what we face as tribulation in this world, it is, I mean, Jesus tells you right here the source of tribulation on this, in this world, in the world. This world is fallen. And the fallen, corrupt nature of humanity and creation, your body is a part of creation. The fallen nature of humanity and creation produce conditions which lead to tribulation. Just the way it is. The fallen condition of creation leads to hurricanes, tornadoes, floods. I mean, on and on it goes. And then these bodies. Look, you may live to be 150 years old. But you need to understand that in the process of aging, your body is going to go through changes. That's just how it is. That's because you're living in a Genesis 3 body. It's just going to happen. That's not a negative confession. It's a declaration of a Genesis 3 reality. Now, you can sustain your body, different measures, you know, through the Word of God, declaring His Word, you know, what you eat and so on and so forth. But it's going to happen. And what's interesting here, Jesus says in this passage, He says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Notice what He doesn't say. "These things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace." That's not what He says. He's saying, "These things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace." There's your difference right there. He even, in another place, talks about in the world people are going to cry, "Peace, peace." He said, but there is no peace. That's not just peace between the nations. That's peace in existence. There is no peace. You know, we could make a list of all the things that are going on in this world. Listen, in my lifetime, I never, ever thought we would see the kind of rioting that has taken place over the last 10 years in our cities. I never thought I'd see it. I never thought I'd see the day when illegal immigrant gangs would begin taking over apartment buildings. I never thought that would ever happen, ever. I never thought in this country I would see the rise of militant, anti-Israel, Jewish sentiment in this country. But there's always been people that haven't, they've hated Jews, all right? But I never thought we'd ever see it to this level. I tell you, listen, you can get all worked up over this and let it draw you away from God. But now Jesus says right here, "These things I have spoken unto you that in me, you might have peace. In me, you might have peace. And in this, he's telling us, your peace starts in me. In me. Now let me ask you a question. You know, are you born again? Well, if you're born again, guess where you are? You are in him. You are the in me part. You're there. You're in him. So he says, in this world you're going to have tribulation. That's just the way it is. Get it settled in your heart. There are going to be outward circumstances and inward things. It's going to happen because everything around you is fallen. All because of Genesis 3. He said, but in me, he says, you might have peace. In me, you might have peace. Now that's an interesting statement because in a way, and I didn't go into all the Greek stuff, all right? But in a way, it's kind of saying, your potential for peace is in me. Now, it's a potential. It doesn't mean you're living with it, but it's your potential. And he says, he's gone through all this stuff, and he declares, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, that doesn't mean he's eliminated all the conditions. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're never going to face these circumstances, outward or inward. What he says is, I've overcome the world. And what he means is, I have set the example on how you can rise above all the emotions that would want to conquer you when you're facing tribulation. He says, I've overcome it. In other words, the world, all the stuff in the fallen world, I have learned how to not let it control my decisions or my reactions, no matter how much I didn't like them. And again, the perfect example is prior to going to the cross. And so he says, I've overcome the world. He has made a way for us in him to rise above all those conditions. Not have them completely all disappear. And I understand about, you know, healing and the manifestation and all this other. What I'm talking about is when the tribulation, the situations occur, he's made a way for us to rise above the emotional response of those conditions. So then the question would be, okay, what is the way to rise? I'm in Christ, but what is the way for me to rise above these things? It's right in this verse. These things I have spoken unto you. It's the Word of God. That's it. It's the Word of God. Now, before we go any further in this, let me ask you something. Don't respond out loud. But to use world's terminology, aren't you tired of being stressed out about stuff? I mean, seriously, aren't you tired of being worked up over what's going on with your mom? What's going on with your dad? What's going on with your spouse? What's going on at your job? What's going on with your kids? Aren't you tired of this? Seriously? I just don't know how we're going to pay the bills. Aren't you tired of this? You need to be. You need to be at the point, and I mean for all of us, you need to be at the point of saying, what was that movie? I'm mad as you know where, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Network. See, you've been watching dirty movies, haven't you? Look, oh, I can't believe it. Repent. Those are trick questions to find out who's backsliding and who's not. I'm serious. I mean, haven't you reached the point to where I don't want to be like this anymore? No matter what happens. It isn't that I'm not concerned. But, now let me say it this way. It sounds detrimental or mean or whatever, but I don't care what they do. I don't care what you do. Body, I don't care what you do. I am not going to tribulate. In other words, I'm not going to let it get to me. Obviously, you have to acknowledge the situation. It's there. But aren't you tired of sitting around and crying about all the stuff that goes on? Well, Brother Martin, you just don't understand a mother's heart. Okay, point taken. Here's how I trump that ace. You don't understand the heart of God. Because if you understood the heart of God, you would be casting the care of your kids over onto Him and not putting that burden on your shoulders and trying to be Jesus Christ and work the miracle on your own. You would not do that. Well, it's easy for you to say, no, let's not get into this ping pong argument, okay? Let's not do that. I'll ask this. Show me the Word of God where God has said, I give thee permission to worry yourself sick over your family. Well, see, it's not in there. Aren't you tired of it? I mean, really. Have you ever gone through a bunch of stuff? And maybe you actually say this out loud. What's next? I can tell you what's next. Tribulation. Stuff's going to happen. Now, these things I have spoken unto you. The Word of God is your answer for this. It's how you conquer. Now, He said, in Me you shall have peace. Now, let's take a look at the Word of God. Okay? Start over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Some of you still turning, I want you to see this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what's that next word? Peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That spirit, it's a capital S, it shouldn't be. That's talking about your born-again spirit. The moment you get born again, let me say it like this. The moment you get born again, these are ingredients in your born-again spirit. It's like they are a seed planted in your spirit. And they bear fruit. The fruit of your born-again spirit includes love, joy, peace. So then what we're seeing right now is the moment that we are in Christ is the moment all of this is a part of our spiritual makeup. Now there's just no way you can get around this. It's there. It's there, but it doesn't mean it's producing fruit. It's in you. This right here reveals to us what is a part of our born again spirit. Now look over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now what's interesting is verses 12 and 13. This is a variation of the fruit of the Spirit. He's telling you, bear the fruit of the Spirit in verses 12 and 13. And he continues and says, and above all these things, put on charity. Charity, which is the love of God in action. Fruit of the Spirit. Number one mentioned is love. First thing. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. See that? Rule in your hearts. To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 15 represents or reveals a choice. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, it's in there. But we have to make that decision to let it rule. In other words, let peace dominate your heart. Not the reactions to the tribulation. But let the peace of God rule, dominate in your heart. And look over in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 27, look what Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There it is, a choice. And he's telling you right here, my peace I leave with you. Well, that's Galatians chapter 5. You know, the peace that comes out of our spirit, that's in our spirit, the moment we get born again. And Jesus is saying, let me say it like this, if you're in me, then I have given to you my peace, and it's not the kind of peace that you're going to get in the world. Because you're never going to have the kind of peace that you want if you rely on the world. He says, but I give it to you. I give you my peace. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart tribulate. Let not your heart get worried, anxious, fearful, etc., etc., etc. He says, don't do it. This is a choice. It's a choice. Now, if you didn't have the potential to live with this peace, you wouldn't have this choice. But he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. So, Jesus is revealing to us this concept of peace. The seat of peace is our born-again spirit. Now, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, meaning the Word of God. So let's take a look at more of what the Word of God has to say about this peace. Look over in Romans chapter 14. See, I can remember years ago, I would get absolutely, I mean, steam coming out of my ears and my nostrils and so forth when I would encounter computer problems. I would get so unbelievably angry to the point, if it had been human, I would have beaten it up. But then finally, it hit me. I mean, God finally got it through to me. You know, what's the worst thing that can happen? The computer crash. That's right. I can get you another one. Oh, yeah. You supply all my need. Oh, yeah, okay. I get it. So you know what? I still don't like it when the computer acts up. But now, you know what I do? I look at it and I say, you can be replaced. I put the fear of Jim in the thing. But now look at this. Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, not natural stuff, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you in the kingdom? Absolutely. Born again, you're in the kingdom. And he says, well, guess what? The kingdom of God, it's not in the natural stuff. The kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we're in the kingdom of God. We're in Christ, okay? We have access to this peace. It's there. In fact, what's interesting, you know, if you want a kind of an imagery, an abstract imagery, the moment you get born again, you're translated into the kingdom of God, and now here you are in this bubble of peace. That's how God sees it. That's you. That's where you are. You're in this peace, but you don't have to access it. That'd be like going to a smorgasbord and just standing there and looking at all the food you paid for. Yes, paid for. Or, you know, I take you there and I pay for the food. It's all you can eat. You just stand there looking. And everybody that walks by can hear your stomach growling. They can't figure out why in the world aren't you getting something to eat. I'm so hungry. Well, there's the food, but I'm so hungry. I know what you're saying. You paid for it, but I'm so hungry. It's like, you're weird. Okay. Jesus, where are you? I'm so worried. I'm so upset. And he says, you know what? I bought your peace with my blood. I know it, Jesus. I know you did. Thank you very much. But I'm so worried. I'm so stressed. Same thing. Same kind of a thing. Look in Psalm 28. Now, I hope you understand that these verses we're going to be reading here, we're just skimming the surface. This is all throughout the Bible. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. Well, see, you're not going to do a whole bunch of rejoicing when you're all tribulating. I mean, all those definitions. And he says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. When you're going through this stuff, see, he's revealing to you, here's what you need to be declaring. Instead of fussing and bellyaching and complaining about all the stuff that's going on, and it's this and it's that and the other. Yeah, that stuff is there. And it is happening. But in the midst of it, overcome all of the emotions that would want to take over and just declare, the Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart is trusting in Him. And my heart rejoices. You know what you need to do then? With my song will I praise Him. Trust in God is directly associated with songs of praise. The more you praise, the more you know Him, the more you know Him, the more you trust Him. Look over in Psalm 29. Verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. I thank You, God. You've given me strength, and I thank You for blessing me with peace. What comes out of your mouth is going to determine the fullness of your response. You need to understand that. You know, a couple of weeks ago I had a sermon entitled, Call It Abraham, and it dealt with speaking over your body for healing and speaking over your material and financial situation for God's Word to be the source of your provision and so forth. Well, this goes right along with that. And here's the thing. If you're not going to speak over you what God has promised, why would you expect the full manifestation of what He's promised? In other words, it's like so many Christians seem to want to just complain, 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 then they can't figure out why God is nowhere to be found. Well, it's because you got your eyes off Him. You're looking at everything around you. Look in Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. See that? You're my hiding place. You're my hiding place. You're my hiding place, and no fire of adversity can burn me. No battle can turn me. No mountain can stop me. You hold my hand. I'm walking in Your victory because Your power is within me. No giant can defeat me because You hold my hand. See that? You know, if you sing that song, and then when the service is over, you're out there bellyaching, complaining, and fussing, you just prove you're a hypocrite. Because you were singing one thing, but you don't believe it. You're not living it. Not even making the effort to live it. But let's continue in this. Look at Psalm 46. I'm not trying to be mean, guys, but here's the deal. This world is going to get worse and worse, and if we don't address how we respond now, you know, it's always a good idea to put gas in your car before you go on a long trip. Until you see a sign that says, no gas stations for the next 100 miles. All right? It's always best to fill up then. In Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's telling you right here you're going to face trouble, tribulation. And He's saying, but no, I'm to be your refuge and your strength. A very present help all the time. I'm there. That's how you're supposed to be seeing me. God, I can't stand what's going on around me right now, but I thank You that You are my strength and You're my very present help. Jesus, I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And here in verse, this fits right in with what we were singing here earlier. Verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. See that? I mean, that basically is the song. But when do we do this? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I'll interject this now. You say, well, Brother Martin, all these verses, you know, I'm trying to write them down, and I don't know that I can remember all these. All right. But you know the one thing you can do, even if you don't remember all these verses, is you can lift your hands and you can begin to praise the Lord. That you can do. Because He inhabits the praises of His people. Look at Isaiah 32. In Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. You've been made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, and He's saying righteousness is going to work in you to produce the fullness of peace and quietness and assurance forever. God, I thank You that I am the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness, do Your work. Do Your work and produce this peace. And in Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah 26, verse 3, look here. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. This right here, if there was a key, look at this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. But what do you need to do? You need to have your mind focused on Him. See that? Now you've got a choice. See, all of us, we have a choice. We can focus on all the stuff. I don't know what Mama doing, Daddy, and the kids, and the car, and the job, and the boss, and the money, and the this. Or we can lift our eyes to the source of our help. It's totally up to us. And God is saying, listen, I'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on Me. Now look over here in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 8, there's a variation on this theme. Romans chapter 8, and in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. There it is. That's kind of a variation on what we just read over there in Isaiah. And then, to continue on this particular theme, look over in Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful, worried, upset, anxious, stressed out about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep, shall guard, shall watch over your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He's not saying ignore the situations that need to be addressed. He's saying keep your mind focused on who you are in Christ, what Christ has done for you, the Word of God, the promises of God, the peace from within. He's saying do this, think on these things. Focus on those things while you're dealing with the stuff. And he says, the peace of God is going to be there. This is not an if, maybe, I hope. This is a guarantee from the Word of God. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affection, your focus, your attention on things above, not on the earth or not on the world. Because in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Why in the world would you want to focus on the tribulation? To acknowledge it, yeah, I mean, it's there. But to focus on it? And the way you know you're focusing on it is how you respond. The stress, the anxiety, the worry, the fear, all that stuff that goes on. None of that is of God. None of that. I understand the concept of a holy fear of God, but all this other, no, that is not a part of God. That's not what He's given us. We can't afford to let that stuff get to us. And I'm telling you right now, let me just say this in the most generalized statement. It would not be surprising to me if some of the people physically attending this church or physically or, you know, internetly attending this church, if some of the physical battles you're going through 100% related to your reactions to tribulation. 100%. Because, see, you can go to a doctor and you can put on a happy face and the doctor's trying to diagnose the problem, but if you were honest with the doctor, you'd say, I just worry about everything. And now the doctor has a better idea on what's really causing all this stuff. And now if there was a champion chapter in Scripture about dealing with all this, based on everything that we've read so far, let's take a look at Psalm 91. I mean, this one right here, it kind of sums it all up. Psalm chapter 91. Now remember, focus on these things. Perfect peace with his mind is stayed on me, and so on and so forth. Psalm 91, here it is. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. And then God turns around in response to all of us doing that, and He says, because you've set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high. Because you have known my name, you shall call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Praise God! This is your answer. Now some people, here's the part that's just almost mind-boggling. Some Christians, they seem to be just on this path, so accustomed to, they've trained themselves to be upset and to worry about all kinds of stuff. I just can't believe this coffee maker is not making the coffee right anymore. I mean, you know, you can't buy nothing no more. This junk, this stuff, ooh, I just want a good cup of coffee. Why can't I get... Now that sounds silly, but you know what? That's not too far off. Now, for some people, well, this air conditioner in my car is not working right. I'm sitting here sweating like a racehorse, and I want to be cool. It's all this stuff. It's all the little foxes spoiling the vine. Now, look, from this point on, guess what? Every single one of us that have heard this message, we have a choice. Now, we can bellyache, fuss, complain, and yeah, about all kinds of stuff. Or we can rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Because if you're in Christ, you have access to the solution because of your new nature, and the Word of God explains how it works. Here it is. This is it. We cannot afford to be in the middle of the outpouring of God's Spirit and revival and the harvest of revival come in and hear any of us fussing and complaining. We're telling them, you need to trust God. You need to, oh, He's always there. And then they hear us fussing and complaining about all kinds of stuff. You know, it's one thing when you're going through something, you know, and you look at somebody and say, man, I'll tell you what, right now, such and such is happening. And, you know, if you think of it, just pray with me about this. I mean, that's one thing, okay? Because the Bible even tells us, you know, pray for each other. But when you stand there and just ramble on and on and on about, oh, it is, you know, they just can't, they're just not, ain't nothing to, I'm just, wow, wow, wow. You ever been around somebody, a Christian, who's doing that? And there's everything in you wants to turn away, just walk away. In the middle, just walk away in the middle of it, but you don't because you don't want to seem rude. Well, maybe, I'm not telling you to do this, but maybe what they need are people walking away from them. How can you be so rude? Wait a minute. I'm not the one that's rude. You're the one that's rude by declaring to me the opposite of what God has said. You know, I'm sorry you're going through this stuff, but gee whiz, aren't you trusting God? Well, you know what they're going to say? Yes, I'm trusting God. If you're trusting God, then you're not going to let that stuff overcome you. You will overcome all those emotions. That doesn't mean that sometimes it won't be a fight. Remember Jesus in the garden. That was a fight. But He has overcome the world. And we are in Him. That means we are overcomers. You know that song, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this world. That's who we are. Folks, be encouraged with this, please. Meditate on these things. And from this day forward, fight the fight of faith against all the circumstances, outward or physical, that want to drag you away and conquer you. Don't let it happen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might within. Well, praise the Lord, everybody stand.